2.
Find you in that place of peace and rest.
Did you know that elephants hate playing poker in the jungle? You know why? Because there's too many cheetahs. No. You cannot cheat your way through life. You can't cheat your way through life. If you're going to live life, then you have to live it right. Peter says, do that which is right. Why? That you might be able to shut the mouths of the foolish in the world today. Do what is right. When you don't know what else to do, do what is right. We've been looking at the word right and looking at it from an acrostic sense. We've looked at R-I-G, R being righteous, I being integrity, G being doing good, and the aspects of going about life and doing good unto others. I looked at the word in the letter H, and I came up with so many different words. I thought about happy. I thought about honest. I thought, well, honest is integrity. I thought about the heart. I thought about heaven. I thought about holiness. I thought about honorable. There are a lot of words I could have picked out for the letter H, but somehow or other I was moved to look at the word hope. Hope. R-I-G-H is, H is hope. Okay? You see, the most sacred word in the English language is a four-letter word, and that word is hope. H-O-P-E. It's a powerful word. It's a word that indeed raises the expectations about as life is concerned. You see, hope is a constant expectation of something good that's going to happen in your individual life. That's what hope is. Hope is always expecting something good is going to come from your and into your life. Every good and perfect gift, there is no variation or shadow with God. Every gift, everything that is good, comes down from God. And if you put your hope in God, then you should be living your life fully expecting that something good is going to happen. The Bible says that God is able to bring about and cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Hope is a trust that whatever you are expecting in your life will be fulfilled according to the will of God. Hope is not a wish. It's not an uncertainty. It is a confident expectation. Say that. Hope is a confident expectation of something good that's going to come into your life. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things that are hope for. You see, an atheist may have a reason, but they have no hope in the reason. No hope. They don't. Ephesians 2:12 speaks about all the people who did not know Christ and were not Christians at that point in time, especially talking about the Gentile. Paul says they have no hope and they are without God in this world. They have no hope. They have no hope out there. They have no hope out there. They may be struggling and striving in darkness, but whatever man attempts, it is futile. It is vain. All is vanity, according to Solomon. It is empty. There is no hope in that aspect. Well, a hypocrite may have a hope, but no reason for his hope. I said a hypocrite may have a hope, but no reason for his hope. While a Christian has a reason for his hope and a hope in the reason. A Christian has a reason for his hope and a hope in his reason. The Bible says Abraham hoped unto hope, believing that what God had promised, God was able to perform. He did not waver in faith. He did not waver. He believed that what God had promised, not only would he fulfill it, but he was able to do so. In Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Paul writes to the Roman church and he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. We exalt. The word exalt means we have extreme joy that someday, as it is now, we are being sharing in the glory, the nature, the character of God, and someday we will become as He is. We glory in that. We exalt in that. We find extreme joyful exalting in that. Not only that, are you listening? Are you listening? I'm asking, are you listening? He goes on and says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. Exalt means what? To be extremely joyful. What? In our tribulation. What did James say, chapter 1? Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diversities of trials. Isn't that what he said? What is it? It's the attitude, isn't it? As we look at it and the aspect of it. Why? He goes on and says, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. The ability to take it. Go ahead, Satan. Dish it out. Dish it out. Because in Christ I can find the strength and I can take it. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. Because my hope is in God. And I know He is my deliverer and He will deliver me. And it brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. Proven character. And proven character, hope. You see what you got to do to get hope? There's nothing worse than being hopeless. You know that? And seeing everything around you is being hopeless. There's nothing more detrimental, no more destructive to life than having no hope. No hope. And hope does not disappoint. Paul goes on, hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our heart through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. You see, how do you know that God really loves you if you don't see His hand delivering you from your tribulations and your trials and your struggle? God is there to work things and to bring good, and you got to hope in God. You got to put your faith and your trust in God. Paul included hope, did he not, in the great threes of 1 Corinthians 13. Now abides faith, hope, love. Yeah, the greatest is love. But notice where he put hope. Where did he put it? Right in the middle. You think that's by happenstance? I don't think so. In fact, if you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, you're going to find Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, mentions these three things as the mark of the maturity of the church. And you could take this, the mark of maturity in an individual Christian's life. What are they? Faith, hope, love. Listen to what he said. For this reason, verse 15, chapter 1 of Ephesians, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, having mentioned you of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You notice the three words? I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your love for all the saints. But I'm praying to God that if there's anything that you get to know and come to know and have a revelation of and get to understand is the hope of your calling. Isn't that what he said? Go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verses 3 and 5. Notice well, he says here. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Why do they have faith? And why is their love real to them? Because they have
hope.
You see, what good is faith without hope? If you don't have faith or hope, you'll have no faith. If you don't have hope, it's impossible for you to love. You understand that? Hope is such an important, powerful aspect of our being and who we are. And our hope comes from God and His promises and who He is. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So not only is that, but look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're talking about the marks of a mature church. We're talking about the marks of a mature Christian. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, Paul writes these words to the church at Thessalonica. We give thanks to God always for all of you, having mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In our Lord Jesus Christ. What brings steadfastness into the life of a person? What brings steadfastness into the life of the church? It's hope. It's hope. It's hope. It's hope. Okay? Hope in who? In God. Hope in Jesus Christ. In the presence of God, etc., etc. Okay? So how important is it? How important is it that you are living a life, a living hope, that your hope is alive and that it's well, that it's alive and it's well, and faith, hope, and love is indeed a dynamic within your personal life as a Christian. You are walking by faith, you're living by hope, and you're demonstrating and walking and sharing by the Holy Spirit the love of God to those that have come into your path. Because the Holy Spirit sheds abroad, remember, Romans 5, the love of God in our hearts. Amen? Abraham Lincoln said, because of my faith in God, when hope was gone, I hoped on. When faith was hope was gone, I hoped on. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God, if I'm really struggling with my hope, what maybe I'm lacking in my own personal life? What may a church be lacking? What may I be lacking if I'm not abounding in hope? Maybe I've quenched the Spirit. Maybe I've grieved Him. Because what as I read here, it says, you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now what it said? Isn't that what your Bible says? How is that hope abound? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And God gave us that power, that Spirit, at our birth into Christ, did He not? We were born not only in the water of the Spirit. Peter said, repent, be baptized for the remission, and you will see the promise of God is the indwelling gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us. That's why Romans 5, remember, it talks about the hope of God, and that how do we know that? It says because of the Holy Spirit that pours abroad, pours through our heart, just fills us with the love of God. If you know God loves you, then your hope is in that love. And if you know that God is a God who keeps His promises, then your faith is in a God who keeps His promises. Amen? And there is no ifs and ends about it, okay? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope defers makes the heart sick. Isn't that what it says? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So how important is it? Well, hope gives you the focus that you need in your life. That's what hope gives you. 1 Timothy 4:10 states, we have fixed our hope on the living God. Titus 3:7, so being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet is the whole. What do you have on your mind? What are you thinking about 24 hours, 7? What's the most important thing that it is? The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Nothing should be more important to you, and your focus should be on your soul and your salvation and you being right with God. Period. Am I being emphatic enough? My wife dreamed the other night she died and went to heaven. Can you imagine that? And I asked her, I said, well, was I there? And she said, well, of course you were. That's how I knew it was a dream. How many of you want to go to heaven? Really? How many of you really want to go to heaven? And that is your hope. That's where your mind should be fixed on. Is that you're doing and working and living in your way so when Jesus comes, he's going to take you home. Okay? Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are of the earth. Hope is your focus. Hope is the focus. Romans 8, 24, 25. For in hope, we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For he who hopes for what he already sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. You see, hope brings salvation. And that's important that you be saved from the trials, the tribulations, the struggles, and the aspects of what Satan is throwing at you every day. And he will throw it. Like firing darts of arrow and spears, he'll keep throwing them at us. But faith is the shield, right? Faith is the shield that you put up to protect you. Faith is in who? It's in God. Hope is in God. And the love that we share with one another is the love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We need to get our lives where our focus is fixed. You understand that? Fixed. Fixed. Because if you got a fixed focus, won't that lead you to walking in obedience to the God's word so that he can clothe you in Christ's righteousness? That righteousness can be accredited to you? If your hope is in God and you're fixed on that purpose of knowing and hearing the words, well done, won't that motivate you to live a life of integrity and uprightness before God and keep your life where God wants it to be? Wouldn't that do it? Wouldn't it? And if hope is the aspect of your life, wouldn't you then be motivated, if you will, to get up every day, excited about every day, because you know that day is going to bring you opportunity to do good just for someone. For someone. Do good unto all men as the opportunity avails itself, but especially unto the household of faith. And do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you shall be rewarded. Okay? Well, hope is not only that which focuses. Hope is our anchor. Hope is our anchor. You heard it. We read it. It's the anchor. Why do we need an anchor? Why do they put anchors on ships? Why do you have an anchor in your boat? What is the purpose of an anchor? Pardon? Hold you steadfast and keeps you from drifting. You want to, I remember when I was fishing with my granddad, he would always row, and we didn't have motors. We'd row over on the other side of the lake, whatever way the wind was blowing, we'd take the boat, and we'd just let the wind take us across, and we'd be fishing on the way. As soon as we caught a fish or two, then he'd put down the anchor, and we'd fish that area where we caught. And when he got done there, we'd take the boat, roll all the way back, move maybe down a little farther, and let the wind drift us across. The purpose of the anchor was once we found where the fish was, we didn't want to drift. So if you read the book of Hebrews, you'll find that the Hebrew writer is reading about those people who are drifting past the harbor. And if we neglect so great a salvation, the writer says,
the book of Hebrews, okay? We need to have an anchor. Do you have storms in your life? Does the wind blow? Huh? Do the waves come? Remember James says double-minded people are unstable in all the ways, because then he says, if you doubt, asking for wisdom, if you even doubt, he says, you're like a ship out in the middle of a sea, beaten about by what? By the waves. I mean, picture it in your mind. How important is it that whatever happens and is coming and beaten against your life, you have an anchor that's going to keep you steadfast and sure? You need that anchor, and that anchor is your hope. Anchor is that which holds an object in place, secures it firmly, holds it so securely, and that it digs deep into the crevice, finding a rock or something solid that's going to hold it there, right? It's important what your anchor finds in the depth down there that's going to hold it, right? Isn't it? Ships have anchors because they don't want to be beaten against the reefs or whatever it might be, okay? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of stripe, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll, fastened to a rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. You have a rock of your salvation, and that one is Jesus Christ, and you need to put your anchor, your hope in Him. Amen? That is important. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is a living hope. It is not a dead hope. It's alive because He's alive, risen from the dead. Walter Reed hoped and envisioned seeing an end to yellow fever. Through His hands, He did it. It was overcome, wasn't it? Jonas Salk hoped and foreseen a future with no polio. Everything man has done that's been a benefit to another human being has been based on their hope to be able to do something, right? Think about it. Think about it. How many stories, how many movies, how many books have there been told of those who survived prison encampments, who have they have gone through all kinds of survivals of tragedies and heartaches and unbelievable things that have occurred in their life, and all the pain and the hurt, and they survived because they all had one thing in common. They never lost hope. Right? Never lost hope. Lastly, hope motivates us to keep our lives pure. Turn to 1 John. This beautiful little letter of John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And let's read this together. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know Him, because it did not know, us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him does what? Purifies himself or her just as He is pure. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sin, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in His sin, no one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices willfully lives in sin and practices righteousness is righteous, and just as He is righteous. But the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I had all of you raise your hand, and all of you said you want to go to heaven. Right? You realize that when you and I see him, and he comes in all of his glory, and when you look upon him, you're going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to become like him. And everyone who has this hope does what? Purifies themselves as he is pure. Remember the Beatitudes? Chapter 5, verse 8. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So being pure is based on our hope, right? Why would I keep myself out of sin? Why resist evil, cling to what is good? Why would I continually struggle against the flesh and put this thing into subjection to the will of God and keep it in control? Why would I do that? Why would I? Why would I live a right life? Why would I be an obedient to God? Why would I be a person of integrity? Why would I be about doing good as my Lord did? He went about doing good. Why would I keep my life pure? Because I have this hope. Amen? I have this hope that someday he's coming again. I believe that. And when I look upon him and all of his glory, my hope is that I'm going to be sharing and I'm going to become like him. I'm going to become like him. 1 Peter 1:13 says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation, the parousia of Jesus Christ. Amen. Fix your hope. Let hope become your anchor. Anybody need an anchor? Anybody need a motivation that would really push you on to make sure that you're keeping your life pure before God? Paul said to the Philippians when he wrote to the church, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report and have any virtue, then set your mind on those things. See, it's all about a fixed focus, isn't it? You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes on your hope. You keep your eyes on God's promises. You keep your eyes on him, and that hope will be real to you. Because once you take your eyes off on Jesus Christ, you're going to be like Peter. And when the waves come and the difficulties of life come, what did Peter start doing? Fear took over. He lost his hope. Began to sink. Amen? So God has given us a hope. And that hope is real. It's a living hope. It's a hope you can put your faith in and be confident of. That no matter what, no matter what stands against you, doesn't matter. When you have a mountain you're confronting, don't think about how big the mountain is. Think about how big your God is that can move the mountains. Keep your focus on him. Okay? Let's stand together. We're going to sing this closing hymn, The Solid Rock. That is where your anchor better be. It's in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen? I think there's two verses. Let's sing it together.